Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Shalini D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Matt Stinchcomb, Steve West in for D'Amino, taking care of his daughters as they are leaving college. Well, not like thrown out of college, but
how
the
you
semester
doing over there?
Has come to a close. Doing okay, D'Amino.
I'm a little better over here.
You're doing the same, and everybody else out there in Radio Land is feeling good as well on this Thursday afternoon. 12 o'clock hour, as we told you, brought to you by Wade Ford. Hey, don't forget something new here at The Fan. Introducing 680 The Fan Girl, our brand new social media sports content tailored to the ladies.
Oh, there's a new one.
A little less sexy. X's and O's, more lifestyle-driven sports content. The 680 The Fangirl pages, curated expressly for our 680 female sports fans. Become a 680 The Fangirl today. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok. Are we making too much of this legend headed into broadcasting, as in will he or won't he? We'll get into that in about 5 minutes or so from now. But it's not only here in town, but it's at 12 other markets where Comcast has pulled the plug on Bally's and or Bally's pulled the plug on Comcast. 12 markets now without Major League Baseball. But like we said, the solution here would be the Fan app, and it's free. Brought to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. They will take care of you. But if you have Comcast and you want to watch the Braves, as of right now, nothing's been resolved. This is one of those situations, Stinch, where something, as in cooler heads on both sides, have to prevail because nobody's winning here.
Yes.
Nobody cares about the how and why. Get it done.
Yeah, this is a universal loser, right? Who comes out in this one and you say, you know what, this situation was ideal for fill in the blank. It's as bad of a global loss. And what's the point? Right. Isn't the point of having a sporting event for it to be spectated, to see it, to actually be witnessed? Otherwise, let's just, you know, we'll let the robots do all the playing from here on out. We'll bet on who's got a better, you know, CPU or something.
Well, and that's why we lifted the blackout rules all around, because when we were kids, you couldn't watch all the games on television. Nothing was a given in the NFL, especially. If games weren't sold out 72 hours ahead of time, you had the blackout rule. You didn't see the local team play.
Unless you're a Braves fan. Back in the day.
That's it.
And Superstation.
That's the ultimate irony here. You had the Superstation where they were on every
Cubbies,
place.
Cubbies, right?
Yeah. Cubs at
WGN.
GN. Yeah. And now everything is limited, it seems.
It's interesting that the NFL had the view that if we're not going to sell out a game, this happened to the Falcons a lot in the 80s, that home game wasn't on television. So it's good business to not have the game on television and not have anybody at the game. And now we've come full circle where it's bad business to not have anything on television.
Yeah.
Your game has to be on the computer screen, on people's phones, on their flat screen, at the bar, or quite frankly, you don't really exist. Unless, of course, you download the 680 The Fan app, and then you could hear every minute of Braves action with Ben Ingram and the guys right here at 680 The Fan, including all three games this weekend in Los Angeles.
And you want to see it all. And a lot of times you want to see things that happen behind the scenes. Well, thanks to Peacock, one of the streaming services, they released a trailer yesterday for Bronx Zoo 90, a documentary about the Yankees that went 67-95 that season and finished dead last in the American League East. I think it was the only time in the divisional era, which began in 1969, where they finished in dead last place. And you want to talk about a season of turmoil. You want to talk about things that, if you had sports talk radio, and I know it was there to a certain extent, but if you had it like you have it today in social media, George Steinbrenner got removed from baseball, banned from baseball for trying to buy information on Dave Winfield from a notorious gambler, Howard Spira. You had Don Mattingly in a contract dispute. You had Pascual Perez, who was a top free agent signee, who went missing. Like, nobody knew where he was. You had Deion Sanders going back and forth between baseball and football. Then you had Mel Hall, who doesn't, let's just put it this way, I don't want to get into too much detail about Mel Hall, but he does the interview for this documentary from prison. He's doing a 45-year sentence. If you want to dig a little bit deeper into that, have at it. Man, that's what was going on with that team.
What else? Does it get worse? Does it get worse than that? You got future cons on your team. You got your leader who's at odds with management. You got management getting banned, ownership getting banned from baseball. Which
they're trying to blackmail Dave Winfield, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, hey, win at all cost. Hey, make sure you show up clean shaven. That's a big deal. Wasn't that a Steinbrenner thing? Like, no facial hair.
No facial hair. You could have the mustache, but nothing,
nothing below the upper lip.
Yes,
that makes total sense. I get that. Because the batter's eye. You know that, right? The batter.
Absolutely.
You get those whiskers on that cheek, and next thing you know, I can't pick up the curveball.
Nope.
We were talking about television a
moment ago.
Massive
slump of curse.
That's a real thing, 100%.
After the 1989 season, the Yankees finally left Sports Channel New York and went to the cable-only MSG network. So that's what MSG network got in year one.
Wow.
With the Yankees. The radio voice, John Sterling, who recently retired, and Jay Johnstone.
Television. He was in the Naked Gun.
Yeah. Television.
He was one of the batters that got frisked.
WPIX was Phil Rizzuto, George Grant, and Tom Seaver. MSG was Tony Kubek, Dwayne Statz, and Al Troutwig. And Bucky Dent didn't make it through the season. Stump Merrill was the manager that finished that year for the Yankees.
God, what a name.
How many coaching changes did you deal with in the NFL, like in-season coaching changes? Did that happen for you?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think. You know, the last year, I think Coach Callahan kind of coached out the string there. I don't think there was anything in season that happened. So, no, it was always, you know, there was all the guys made it through the entire season, that's for sure. But, boy, you talk about disruptive, right? And then how do you finish that? What kind of momentum do you have? And, I mean, we see it all levels of sports.
The year
now,
you went
especially.
To the Super Bowl was Callahan's first at the helm, right?
Yeah.
It was his very first season.
After the Raiders traded the head coach and John Gruden, I think the first and last, because then they made a rule shortly thereafter. I think they picked up two picks and a couple of million bucks for Coach Gruden. And then it never happened again. But, yeah, and then, of course, who did we face? We face a Gruden-led Buccaneers team in a Super Bowl to be forgotten.
So how much disarray is that team in? Because for those that don't know, we talked about Pascual Perez disappearing. That's when Barrett Robbins disappeared, your center, your starting center.
Yeah, which is not – that is suboptimal. That's a when you're celebrating a Super Bowl 3 days before the game's played, a Super Bowl victory, no less, I think was what was going on. So that's not good. That proves to be a distraction when you're Pro Bowl, and he was a great football player. That's never good. And of course, the Yankees that year, God, to deal with that, right? So you've got a key player on your roster, don't know where he is. The owner just got tossed because I guess we're so desperate that we're going to try to extort other players for what was he trying to get on Winfield?
Yeah, I'm not
what,
really
what,
sure.
What was the angle?
What's the payoff?
Betting on games
there?
Or something? Where are we headed with this?
You got me.
And it's going to get adjudicated like quickly enough to where it's going to impact the season. It's just nuts. what were we thinking there? And then of course to play that poorly, and then what leadership do you have in the locker room to right the ship? Oh well, you know Mattingly's all crossed up over his contract. It's like it doesn't get much worse than this. We see it all the time, right? Season goes badly, next thing you know, injuries start piling up. Guys are boxes are packed, and the engine's running in the parking lot. Season's over. We're mailing it in.
Now Pascual Perez disappeared.
Yeah,
you said
he did.
Now, this wasn't the 285 disappearance.
No,
with the
Braves.
This was another disappearance.
That wasn't a disappearance. He was lost.
The same thing. This guy's got to, we got to put LoJack on this guy.
He didn't realize the 285 was one big circle around the city. I just keep coming back to the same thing. Yes, because you're driving in a circle.
It's very disorienting. Big Ben, Parliament.
There is one big circle, but a circle nevertheless.
There's no Georgia Dome exit on 285. There's no State Farm Arena exit on 285. And back in 1980, whatever, there was no Atlanta Fulton County Stadium exit on 285.
But there should have been. There should have been. Then we got our pitcher showing
right.
up to the to the ball.
You could call it the Pascual Perez exit. So anyway, that's going on. In the meantime, we know that the NBA could be shifting from TBS to NBC. Charles Barkley was on in Cleveland yesterday, and he was asked if he has an escape clause in his deal.
I covered my ass, to be honest with you. I just signed a 10-year deal 2 years ago. But one of the things I did, I put an opt-out after a couple years because I wanted to make sure I covered my ass. We knew it was going to be Amazon and Apple, but we didn't know NBC was going to come out to woodwork. Listen, I love TNT. They've been great to me. But if they lose to NBA, I wanted to make sure I had all my I's dotted and T's crossed.
And it's not personal, it's just business, and you're probably going to make even more money at NBC with what they're sinking into this deal, and you'll be on network television a couple of times a week.
Yeah, my only hope is they find a way to preserve that whole crew. I don't know how they pull that off, right? Because I don't know if everybody else did it. They are the best. It is. Well, I'm not going to sit here, and thankfully we're not talking. Are we talking NBA today?
No, not really, no.
Okay, all right, because that's still going on, right?
Still it is. Games? The playoffs are still going on.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that because of that, but I will watch that show. Couldn't care less about most of the games, if not all the games that they're talking about, but just to see that dynamic. And Ernie's Johnson's just brilliant at driving that bus of misfits. But, man, are they fun. And, you know, you never know. Like, Shaq always looks like he's all – you never know if Shaq wants to kill Chuck.
And vice versa.
It seems like Chuck almost goads Shaq into it sometimes.
Does.
I don't know if they're –
like we do every day with Domino. We just poke Domino with a stick. That's what the show's all about, till he snaps.
Is that what the metal detectors are for?
Bunch of idiots around here. You're all idiots.
That's when we know we got him.
Like smuggling a piece of chain link fence.
Well, it's certainly a long association for TBS, TNT, that goes back to when Ted Turner was having the Braves on the Superstation. I believe it was June of 84. TBS, TNT got the rights to 150 NBA games, and I believe the number was $20
million. $20 million, exactly. That's what
it was. 2 weeks later, Michael Jordan is the third player selected in that year's NBA draft. Magic and Larry Bird had restored the league to prominence. The Lakers-Celtic rivalry was kicking into high gear. And so certainly the local angle here, you'd hate to see it happen, but you have to say that TBS, TNT brought this thing to another level in an era where you well remember, Nick, and probably you as well, Matt, that there were NBA playoff games were on tape delay
at
night.
The NBA finals were on at 11:30 on a tape delay basis.
That's crazy.
NBA finals. When Magic won the title as a rookie, tape delay. When Bird won it in 81 in his second year, tape delay. You had to watch it at 11:30 at night.
So
you knew the final already.
The arrival of TBS TNT certainly changed that dynamic. There was no more tape delay NBA final games or other playoff games.
And that was, of course, on tape delay as well, beating the Russians. If you said you saw that live, you're lying, because it was not on live.
Oh, I saw it.
USA
I'll never forget that gold medal.
I don't believe you were around yet, Matt Lear. This is more from Charles Barkley, and this leads into something I want to ask you about, Matt Stinchcomb, being a studio analyst and game analyst with the SEC Network and ESPN. Here he is on TNT last night, being honest as Charles only can.
You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards because they want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck because of Darvin Ham or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Now, I'm not saying, Stinchcomb, you're that harsh, but if you have to criticize, you have to criticize, and sometimes that's going to hurt some feelings.
Yeah, you do. I do think, I don't know how it had nothing to do with the coaching. It does have something to do with the players, but that dynamic matters. And even if it does look like with the Lakers, that, or really any LeBron team, that it's LeBron's team. He gets to pick the players, it seems like, or it certainly has a lot of influence over it. But part of that's a function of, well, you know, as the coach, how do you assert yourself? Are you even afforded the authority to assert yourself in those scenarios? But, you know, to completely divorce the relevance of a coach from how those teams played, it kind of contradicts what he said earlier, which is these guys are a hell of a coach. They're a hell of a coach. Okay. And yet, and then later we're going to say that it had nothing to do with the coaching. Well, if you're a hell of a coach, don't you have some impact? And I guess, do you just assign the successes of the team to that hell of a coaching job by that hell of a coach.
I think you're in a no-win situation, right? If you're coaching LeBron,
yeah.
It's LeBron's team, and if you lose, well, they lost because of you.
Right, right.
You did something wrong.
You are the empty chair, except you're in the chair. So there's always somebody else to point to, and it's the coach. Why did we lose? So it was either injuries or we just got a coach that can't, you know, help us out. We had injuries all season, and that's why we lost in the playoffs. Because we've had injuries all season. Okay.
But you made the playoffs.
But you're in the playoffs.
Good enough to be there.
Yeah, interesting.
Magic blamed it on load management. The fact is the Lakers don't
have... He kind of backtracked on that, but he did blame load management.
Blamed it on load management. And the fact is they don't have a point guard that can defend. And we're going up against Jamal Murray. That's a big problem going forward. And besides, so what if LeBron had played more games? Tell me the team they were going to beat in the first round if they were
out
of the playoff. They weren't going to beat anyone.
It wasn't going to happen. You ever get any blowback from a player or a coach based on something you said on the air?
Let me think. No, I don't think so.
I don't think you make it personal when you're going to critique someone's play. And if you do that, then I think you'll get more blowback, right?
I think there's a way to, well, part of it's because it's, well, and I don't intend to make changes, but with college,
right?
You know, the perception was these guys are still, they're kids. They chose to play there, all the things.
A little bit different.
Now they're kind of pros. And everything's a business decision, et cetera. So, but I also think that there's a way that you can do it and be honest without going out of your way to be, you know, inflammatory about it or dunking on somebody.
This kid should be ashamed to face his family.
Today. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, you get a personal foul in a, right? That's just stupid. That's a selfish, but you can say all those things, but it's not like this kid's an idiot. It's an idiotic play or whatever, but I've never, yeah, I've had family members, relatives reach out and share that they didn't care for commentary, but you know, it was, you know, challenging.
I was mentioning the Vanderbilt week zero game earlier. The Humphreys kid that transfers over to Georgia. It's not like you can hold him to necessarily a higher standard now because he's making better NIL money, is it?
I will say this.
Who knows? He might not have been making any NIL money at Vanderbilt.
Exactly. I think the bigger challenge is going to be it's the guys that are kind of out front with it, whether they intended to be or not. And like I say, I don't really intend on making material changes, but I will say from the sentiment is different. It is different. You know, it's not like, oh, this is a kid. Oh, he's going to class. He's grinding it out. And also, you know, in the 20-hour rule, getting ready to play what is tantamount to professional football. Well, now you're getting paid, you know, taking online classes, I don't know, riding around in, you know, $250,000 vehicles. At that point, and some of these guys, thanks to the accommodations in COVID, some of these guys have been in college for 5 years. Some of them have played football on the field for 5 years. Some of them are 24 years old. And they didn't go, you know, on a mission trip for 2 seasons. They were in college the entire time.
They didn't go to BYU.
Yeah, exactly. Some of those dudes where you're like, yeah, I mean, okay, you're on an island somewhere, and that's not necessarily, I think, contributing to your successes on the field. No, these dudes were still playing on that other. That does change it. That changes it for me. If you got a guy out there that's 23 years old, 24 years old, Chris Winkie, when he was playing, it's different. It is different. Why? Because you're grown. You're an adult. You probably had a mortgage and kids at home. I don't know.
And you made money playing pro baseball, right?
Yeah. You've already been a pro. I don't think, you know, you're not making those decisions real time. But, you know, the short answer is no, never from a player. And I don't think ever from a coach that took exception to it. You try to be fair. And I think those guys get that.
Now, you alluded, without naming names, a certain player on Georgia that has a Lamborghini. When you were playing in Georgia, 96, 97, don't name any names. What was the best vehicle driven by a player on those squads? Like a Ford F-150? What was the best car?
I think it was a Ford Expedition.
Ford Expedition.
Yeah.
Was the
Ford
best Expedition. Car on the late or mid-90s Bulldogs?
Well, when you consider, you know, and at
nobody
that point,
had a, nobody had a vet?
I don't think so. I'll tell you what was weird.
Jimmy Streeter had an orange vet when I arrived at Tennessee in 1979.
Herschel had his Trans Am.
An orange Corvette.
Trans Am from Clemson, by the way. I think that was provided by our friends at Clemson.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, just so. Which, by the way, you know, back in the day, why wouldn't you do that, right? What are they going to say? Hey, we gave him that. What? No, nope, never mind. You know, sorry. I mean, once they give you the keys, like, thank you very much, mm-hmm. And now I'm going to go play over here. That was, you know, it's a, just a boss move. If in fact it's all true, it's all alleged. But now it's, but what's crazy now is, yeah, so it was Ford Expedition, and I think that's right. I think I got that right. You had some tricked out Explorers, great sound systems. You think about the back, you know, the trunk space, you can, the amount of speakers you can pile into that is just fantastic. The Vette not afforded that much real estate. So you really can't do that when you think about it. So I think they're pretty forward thinking in that regard. But yeah, if you're referencing scale, you know, they didn't have 12 cylinder, you know, exotic sports cars. And when you think about it, what's the gas mileage? I mean, what are they getting on that? How much does it cost to run that bad boy?
Yeah, got to do premium.
Maintenance as well.
It's $479
now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's
your maintenance is a mortgage payment for a Lamborghini.
Narrow streets of that college town that we're referencing. I mean, it's a very low slung, very wide wheelbase. It just seems like it's a door ding waiting to happen.
It is amazing, though, how many things have changed in just 5 years. We had JT Daniels on a couple of days ago, and we asked him, did he realize what a big deal it was when he got that Zaxby's card? Like, he's buying, you know, chicken fingers and Wisconsin cheese bites for his offensive line. Now you got the starting quarterback driving a Lamborghini. I mean, that's how much things have changed in 5 short years.
Crazy. And I wonder, is he taking his guys to Zaxby's? Like, how many pounds of cheese curds does it take to offset the fact that you're cruising around in a $260,000 vehicle? I don't know. I've not done that unit conversion yet. I'm guessing.
I expect an answer by one.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. I'll get my iPhone out.
JT Daniels was born 5 years too soon.
Yeah.
He did. He peaked too soon, didn't he?
If he was coming out of high school right now, he'd be getting a piece of a Zaxby's franchise, probably.
Nobody saw the angles better than that guy. I mean, he worked that grift.
We saw the angles. The Falcons are hoping to see around corners, though.
Yeah, that is very true, but another story for another time. What on earth is Coach Prime thinking? We go on campus next here on Cellini and Domino. Stinchcomb, Westy, both in for Chris Domino. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
We're making a big deal out of that.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Cellini Domino on a Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. What's in a day anyway? Matt Stinchcomb, Westy in for Domino today. It's the X-Platform question of the day. What's your favorite song about the water? Smoke on the Water. Anybody that's tried to play a guitar probably played this lick.
It's a great one. Fantastic one, in fact. Listen to it. It's a banger.
As they say, whomever they may be. I want to remind folks, all season when the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires. The next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you'll get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. And remember, the more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals are at Tire Discounters. Learn more at TireDiscounters.com/Braves.
That's Brock good Heward, stuff.
It is very good stuff. Very good stuff with Brock Heward coming your way at 1:20. So stay tuned for that as well.
The college football voice of the South is going on campus. Presented by Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth. Or shop online at SubaruofGwinnett.com.
All right, so I think you know the story by now. Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sung, Colorado's quarterback, went on the offensive when one time a defensive back at Colorado, Xavier Smith, said, Deion never gave me a chance. He told me to leave, never got to know me. And Shedeur said he had to be very mid at best. And then there was the social media, which there always is, back and forth with Caleb Mathis, a receiver of Colorado, posting a video of himself beating Smith in practice. Austin Peay, Jaheim Ward, Smith's new teammate, pointing out that Mathis only had 38 receiving yards in 2023 in response to that video. And then Deion Sanders reposting Ward's career stats with the observation, "Lord Jesus." So what's the point of Deion Sanders going back and forth? Because he continued. Another social media account criticized Shadur for attacking Smith while also pointing out that Colorado was 4-8 in 2023. Deion's response on social media, he will be a top five pick. Where yo son going? LOLOLOL. I got time today. LOLOLOL. Why are you doing that? What's the payoff if you're Deion Sanders? Idiots like me argue with people on social media. Not the head coach of Colorado. Not Deion Sanders, a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Well, I think, the one response was maybe to convey, hey, even though you're not a part of the program anymore, I'm still praying for you. I assume that's the law of Jesus. Like, he's somehow or other, hey, still remembering you in prayer.
Yeah, I guess you could consider
sure.
it that way.
Because that's what he was doing, right? Sure
yeah.
it was.
Shout
and
out to Jesus.
He's got time today. And he seemingly has time every day to do this kind of stuff because he isn't going. He had another comment earlier this offseason that he's not like other coaches, so he can't go do visits on site, can't go to schools.
Because they want to see how he lives.
Yeah, it's all about
prospects, yeah.
Which is beyond absurd. It's a joke. And I will say, I cannot wait for this experiment to fully implode because it's just, the challenge is that on one hand, you are professing certain things. He says some things where I'm like, man, that needs to be said. That's great. That's fantastic. Accountability, real-time accountability. And then moments later, you're a post away from something that completely erodes, wipes all of that completely away. This is, I can remember when Urban Meyer responded to, I think it was Lane Kiffin in year zero at Tennessee, and it was something about a recruiting battle, and you're going, Urban, you've won two national titles. You don't need to stoop. You don't even need to acknowledge whatever Coach Kiffin, but you did, and you gave him exactly what he wanted. Don't stoop. And I'm sitting here, and I'm going, you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You did amazing work at Jackson. So the work that you did there, fantastic, way to go. You've come to Colorado, and you don't need to do this.
Well,
there is
like,
no, like your question, what is the win exactly, Coach?
It's just like after they beat TCU to start the season, he starts yelling at Ed Werder, ESPN reporter, who really didn't say much of anything. You believe now? It's one game.
No, and know what the answer is? No, I don't. And thank goodness he didn't. Because you did proceed to lose, what, 8 of 9 in
yes.
the Pac-12? You did not piss a drop after that. You beat a TCU team that had their flash season. And had a lot of guys that were no longer on the field for him anymore. We thought TCU might be something, even though after they got gutted, right, in the national title game, that maybe Sonny had something. Even Sonny was saying, look, we've had a lot of change here. And we acted like it was nothing. And Ed Werder and everybody else that's paying attention knew that this is likely a one-off event. And it almost certainly was. They should have lost to Colorado State. I mean, there's quite a few where you're sitting there going, look, that bad season easily could have been even worse, Coach. So, no, I don't believe.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't. Is that him again? Did he call? He's got time today, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what he said yesterday.
Yeah, call him.
So Colorado will play week zero in Boulder, hosting FCS North Dakota State, then two road games at Nebraska, at Colorado State, before opening Big 12 play at home against Baylor. And look, I think Coach Prime, as you said, preaching responsibility, he swung into action when the professor wrote the letter about how he had never felt so disrespected in his classroom. He got after the players.
Yeah, that's
about
great.
That. Love that.
Yeah.
I think the thing that bothered me the most last year was when Jay Norvell, the Colorado State coach, said, my mother taught me that when I'm in a room with adults to take your hat off and your sunglasses off, and the firestorm and the minions that jumped on that man for just saying,
I think,
something that was proper and on his mind. And Jay Norvell is no slouch. He played in the National Football League, in case you've forgotten. And he built the program at Nevada from post-Colin Kaepernick into something. And you're darn right. They damn near beat Colorado in that game last year. They've got this game circled this year.
I think the issue is, if you look at a successful program, everybody's going to benefit from transfers, especially with the portal and everything else, NIL in this day and age. But when you look at schools like Alabama, when Saban was there, when you look at Kirby and what he's doing at Georgia, if you're not developing players, to me, it's akin to Major League Baseball. If you just think you're going to go out and sign a bunch of free agents and you don't have a minor league system, in other words, in college football, if you're not developing guys like Ladd McConkey, off the top of my head comes to mind, and nobody paid attention to Javon Bullard, same deal. If you're not getting the most out of these guys, if you don't have people like that in your program, then you can't sustain it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, he has adopted this mindset as if the transfer portal has this depth of talent that's readily available all the time. You're not even first in line, Coach. And I will say this. He talks about guys that you don't get to play wear number one, the jersey number one, until you've earned it. Why is he Coach Prime? Why isn't he Coach Sanders? What has he done that warrants Coach Prime? That's a self-proclaimed nickname. That where you're to call him Coach Prime? Well, why? Well, what have you ever done? So you're big about actually earning whatever it is. You can't wear number one unless you've earned it. What makes you Coach Prime? The whole cult of personality that's been created out there, I hope Colorado knows that the moment that Deion Sanders is no longer coaching there, all of that attention, which may have already evaporated, it does not persist. Lil Wayne is not a Colorado fan. You know, Luther Campbell is not a Colorado fan. The celebrities that showed up, who, by the way, where were they later in the season? They all of a sudden, there weren't enough, slots at the private hangar to bring in their jets.
It was cold.
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, hey, I mean, what was it? They sold out for the spring game when there was snow on the ground. He comes out with his cowboy hat. I mean, all of that stuff leaves the moment that he does. It's almost like Colorado is just the host animal for what is otherwise this parasitic mindset of, I'm going to bring me and my kids. We're going to create content for one of them's YouTube channel. We're going to prop up the other two. They're going to have tons of NIL money, and they're making millions of dollars. As I understand it, the top earners in the NIL marketplace, legitimately, those numbers are legit. I don't think that the marketability is legit.
You don't believe.
But that whole thing is, and it's almost like Colorado football as a program is completely incidental to that. And that tweet about he's going to be a top five pick, whatever it was,
essentially paraphrasing,
As the head coach of Colorado, you dismissed his observation that you went 4-8, and you focused on one player who, incidentally, is even worse look, your kid, and that is the response. And you can't, as a father, it's embarrassing, but as a head coach of that program, what a joke.
When you respond to facts with insults, you have no ammo.
That's making a big deal out of that.
Man, we might be, Coach.
I think all the signs. Nick, you're right. Recruiting is and will always be the lifeblood of college football. The transfer portal is a supplemental avenue, either trying to get your team better or by necessity. But I think we're all in agreement here that the signs point to Coach Prime's tenure at Colorado not being a decade-long one, maybe not a half-decade-long one. My question for you, Matt, having played in the league, where does he go from here? Does this work at the next level?
This is, to me, what he's employing. He's treating college football as if it is at the next level. But the difference, obviously, being this is where the transfer portal analogies fall apart, right, is there are no contracts, right? Nothing binding anyway. Ask the Proctor kid who goes from Bama to Iowa back to Bama. So because of that, it's like this pseudo-free agency. I will say that maybe the only redeemable thing that I can extract from what Coach Sanders has done at Colorado is he's made college football look in the mirror. We talked about this, I think, before, is that, hey, so if you're going to have this transfer portal in this NIL environment, then this is how I think I can build my roster. You can't. And he has definitely proven that. They've also changed the landscape, probably for the worse. Maybe they accelerated an inevitable element where it was one of their quarterbacks, Kopp, I want to say, was the one that got the temporary restraining order against the NCAA on the limiting of transfers, because he'd already transferred once. And that was what kind of ushered in this current environment of, hey, you transfer as many times as you want, which is even worse. Talk to any real college football coach, the ones that are actually having to recruit, the ones that do make campus visits, the one that actually know what play is being called and the like. Those guys hate what has now been created, and that is an offshoot. I think it would have happened anyway, so I'm hanging it completely on Colorado. That's an offshoot of what Coach Sanders created or hastened because of that mindset. He came in at spring ball. He sent 20 guys in one day or two into the transfer portal. They ended up with 53 guys over that roster leaving their program. Only 9 of them landed at Power Fives. And you're looking at this and you're going, maybe is this the wave of the future?
You can't have turnover like this.
No.
No matter what the level is, you can't.
You can't.
You cannot sustain it.
And there's guys. The lie is that college football, those guys really are still developing. They aren't finished products. You know, once you're getting drafted into the league, the expectation is you're pretty much cooked up. This is as good as you're going to be. There's going to be some refinement. But those guys aren't looking to build players. They'll draft some developmental guys that need to mature. But in college, these guys are 18, 19 years old. Who knows how good they could have been? But you're too busy spitting the bit because you're showing up with your Louis luggage or whatever that garbage was. And it's like, what was it? Was it like a handbag? Maybe a dop kit? Because at 4 and 8, how many pieces of Louis did you show up with? It didn't show up on Saturdays, and maybe it's your son that will go top 5. The problem is, Coach, is that you're supposed to be leading a program. You're not just a parent to one kid. You just want to be a dad. Go be a dad. That was a dad tweeting about his kid, and that would be embarrassing enough as it is. I think Shadur can handle his own on social media. So he doesn't need his dad to show up anyway, but you're the leader of this program. For that to be your response is an embarrassment.
But,
is that too much? Is
no, no, no.
Coach, we're making a big deal out of nothing.
No, no, I think you're absolutely right. Like I said, people like me argue with people on social media, not people like Deion Sanders. It's not supposed to happen. But with everything going on in Colorado and in college football in general, we have to make adjustments, as in bowl leaders are now hoping for a CBA to help lower opt-out. So the deal is, the thinking is, if you sign a contract and you get compensation, you are obligated to perform certain duties. In this case, if you have an NIL deal, this is the thinking. The Fiesta Bowl put this forth yesterday. You have to play 12 regular season games and a bowl game, or a bowl game and the playoff.
That's part of the contract?
Don't get paid.
Yeah, or you don't get paid.
Based on what happened last year between Georgia and Florida State.
Sure.
When everybody opted out. And I blame Mike Norvell, because he planted that seed. Instead of proving yourself and saying, this is a two-time national champion, even though they're not in the playoff, the defending national champions, two times over, we're going to prove to everybody that we were worthy of the playoff. Everybody quit. And it started with the coach.
Yeah, I that was where FSU spit the bit, in my opinion, was they were talking about how it was a nothing. What was it Keon Coleman said? It was the nothing. We were going to play in the matter. First of all,
here is Keon Coleman.
Oh, great.
And then you can comment on it, Matt Stinchcomb.
Of course they want to play. They playing in the maddest HELL Bowl. They mad, but they lost. What y'all mad right. Because y'all lost. Y'all think this 2021, y'all supposed to just get in because y'all Georgia? It don't work like that. You would have won. You would have found out who was better between Florida State and Georgia. You would have played us in the matter bowl, the bowl that matter. We ain't going to play y'all in the bowl that don't matter. That's a waste of time. If y'all would have won and did what y'all was supposed to do, y'all would have had to see it. All that barking, we would have put a spear straight through you, cuz. Ain't no barking. That's so, dead. They would have found out, but the world may never know because Georgia decided to lose.
That's true.
We should question their toughness to Bama. How y'all keep choking?
The world may never know, because even though they lost, all of their players came and played in this game. All of your players, including you, quit.
Well, just so I know, so if Georgia won in the SEC championship, FSU would have been in the playoff?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what that
was. What are you even
either.
Talking about, Slick? I mean, you didn't even make the playoff. Georgia winning and losing, you would, the only way that FSU, the way this played out, was going to get to play Georgia was because of their losing to Alabama. That's what the logic doesn't even hold up on that level with the whole Matter Bowl. No, the only chance that you would have gotten to play the University of Georgia, who by anyone that saw how things unfolded, you know, Michigan won it all. Do we really think that Georgia wasn't the best team in the country last year? They played a bad quarter and a half. That's part of the reason why I think Nick Saban probably was like, you know what, I'm going to shut it down. I just beat a better team with a lesser team. This is a de facto national title game. And to me, the SEC championship once again was the national title game. And they saw it. He won it. And then the Rose Bowl was gravy at that point in time. We saw the, I think, Alabama team that played way over its head to beat Georgia. FSU, the only way that you would have seen them would be if they lost to Alabama. They did you a favor. You had a chance to play it, and you decided not to. It's unsurprisingly not very sound reasoning by Keon.
No, I just see the difference, Westy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, between two programs. Norvell over here complaining, and Georgia saying, yeah, we felt like we should have been in the playoff, but guess what? We're all going to come back and play in this game.
Yeah, prove it on the field. We'll just show up and play.
Georgia didn't, quote, decide to lose to Bama, but y'all decided not to show up against Georgia.
Point.
That's what happened.
That's a good point. It wasn't a decision. You had a decision to make, and you chose not to play. By the way, Brock Bowers was not on the field. Neither was, Amarius Mims, was banged up or whatever.
But they were there practicing at least.
Yeah.
They showed up and gave it an effort.
It's just, this is another one of those where you're just like, okay, good luck, Tallahassee and FSU. You do whatever it is that helps you sleep at night. The long and short of it is you had a chance to play these guys and you didn't.
And to be fair, Georgia's not immune to this. We remember what happened in the Sugar Bowl against Texas a few. This is going to happen. But again, the Florida State case, I'm sorry, it just doesn't hold any water. It's full of holes. They're drowning from the holes in their story.
Well, what was that team, right? So the guys that tapped out, obviously Jordan Travis was injured, and then you've got the other guys. Well, they're soldiers of fortune too, right? I'm not saying that they aren't going to be ultimately really good football players at the next level, but what is their allegiance to FSU, really? I mean, so you showed up. You're a rented player. You're there for a season.
A lot of them were transfers. You're right.
And they transferred in. The Fisk kid, great player, right? Verse, great player. He was a multi-year player for him. Keon Coleman. FSU rented these guys for a year. So were they going to show a ton of allegiance to FSU? No. And that's not surprising. But don't make it something that it's not.
Yeah, I think let's just watch this season and next and see which program sustains the level that they've established. My money is on Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you hit it earlier too, Nick, right? You have to develop, and your culture has to be, it's like the spring games. A lot of these guys where it's like, you got to kind of, kiss them in the ear and recruit them and make sure they feel good so they want to show up and play at spring. Well, and Georgia had guys transfer afterwards, right? Andrew Paul probably most notably. But they had guys that they were fighting for reps. They want to get on the field. I want to be able to be out there, and I want to compete. That is a program that can sustain success. It's not the program where it's like, hey, man, are you gonna be good to go tomorrow for our little glorified scrimmage game? It's the inverse of that. And at programs that can do that, I think those are the ones that have a chance to stick around. What's the head coach at Purdue, the basketball guy? He was talking about
Matt Painter. Yeah.
Thank you, Matt Painter, who's sitting there going, the way that you sustain success is your locker room. You got to recruit it to the point where I can tell the guy up front, hey, man, if you don't show up and do it the right way, I got another
guy. Sounds like Georgia.
It is Georgia. It is Alabama. It is, Ohio State in its sour days. It is Clemson when they had it rocking and rolling, where if you don't like it, I'll just put this other guy in there that does, and he'll do it the way we want to do it. And the only reason he's not out there now is because you were here first. That's the way that you sustain it. It's not, please get out there and let's see who hit the transfer portal. And we saw that in the Orange Bowl, and they got drunk.
Yeah, speaking of sustaining success, it's the early season litmus test for the Braves. We offer a preview of sorts next here on Chiellini and Domino. Stinchcomb, Westy in for Domino today. He is back tomorrow here on your home of the Braves. It's The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, and The Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere, from the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone. We are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Madmen have answers. Search the Marketing Madmen on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Madmen every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Cellini D'Amino, the Fan, 680, 93.7 FM. Westy, Matt Stinchcomb, kind enough to sit in for D'Amino, taking care of his kids in college. He is going to be back tomorrow. Brock Heward will join us to talk some football. Specifically, saw Michael Penix for years up there in the Pacific Northwest. He'll join us at 1:20. Strange two words to describe the Falcons. We'll dive into that a little past the top of the hour. But after today's off day, it's time for the showdown, Braves and Dodgers, three games at Dodger Stadium. Kevin McAlpin, who used to travel with the team, is a part of Atlanta Braves today.
He's stuck on an elevator.
He was stuck on an elevator over the weekend. That is very true, Ben Ingram. But he was asked this morning during Atlanta Braves today, 7:45 Monday through Friday during the locker room, 6 to 10, you can hear the locker room, if they ever had some time off in Los Angeles. And he said normally when they travel, not a lot of off time. So, Westy, I defer to you because a day in the life of Westy was your top five Los Angeles sporting events. What are the best two or three things to do with an off day in the city of Angels?
Go to the beach, obviously. Santa Monica Pier, maybe Malibu. I mean, I think a lot of folks do that. Venice. The first thing I did when I got off the plane before I went to the hockey game 10 years ago was straight to Venice. Had a couple of beers there and then moved on to the Dodger Stadium. Sunset Strip, Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood, West Hollywood, Whiskey A Go-Go, the Troubadour, Rainbow Bar. Those are all touristy places.
Sure.
I like Silver Lake. It's not a lot of tourists. It's a locals place, so it helps if you know someone. It's more laid back. There's a place called Silver Lake Lounge. It's on Sunset and hosts a lot of local indie bands, et cetera, et cetera. It's funny, I was watching an episode of Dragnet the other night. Season 3, episode 27.
As one does. Yeah, you know what happens. It's a hell of a segue, Westy.
Yeah, and in Season 3, episode 27, we learned that Sergeant Joe Friday lives in Silver Lake. I had no idea.
Didn't know that either.
What you're about to see is true.
Maybe Silver Lake was different back then than it is now. Very difficult for me to picture.
More accessible for a lawman's salary.
Yes, Sergeant Joe Friday.
Makes you wonder.
Living in Silver Lake.
I wonder if he was like raiding the evidence drawer back then for
possibly
walking around money.
He had so many great
back then
lines.
There weren't computers. Who knew?
Yeah, you don't know.
It's a lot easier to do
no
back
cameras.
Then.
Yeah, there's no telling.
You know what I noticed about Dragnet? Everybody would talk in that monotone. Where were you last night? Why do you ask? Because we were investigating crime. They would just go back and forth with that monotone.
Why do you ask? I'm just curious. No big deal. You know what these bars are for? The gun, the badge? Yeah. You don't know why you're here, pal? Or why do you ask?
Why are you on my doorstep?
Harry,
it's my job, man.
Harry Morgan was the straight man in that, setting up Joe.
Later became
constantly.
Colonel Potter on MASH. Anyway.
How many things did you just download? I was like watching a computer download, Westy. Hey, what would you do in L.A.? All right, here we go. Boom. You just rattle off.
He forgets nothing.
Things.
Everything is like yesterday to him.
It is
what else
crazy.
Did you do?
Somehow that got to Jack Webb as Joe Friday.
It did.
Quickly. Silver Lake. That's why. We learned it.
Oh, Silver Lake.
But I like places where the locals hang out. Like in Vegas, are there local bars that you could find? Because I've always wanted to go to a local bar in Vegas, but I just could never really figure out where a good one was.
Like out west in Summerlin. Like, that's one of those places where people actually live.
Yeah.
Like, that's where Bishop Gorman High School is. So many great players have come from there. But, you go out west. Now, stay away from Boulder Highway. That's where all the extended stay motels are. Stay away from there. Stay away from West Vegas.
You wake up in a tub of ice.
Yeah. North Vegas is
kidney.
North Vegas is kind of sketchy too. It's like when I went to the Black Hole to see the Falcons play in 2016. All right.
I didn't stick around too long after the Falcons won, all right? Most Raider fans were cool. And again, this is Oakland. This is not Las Vegas. This is Oakland Raider fans.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a feeling that if you wanted to find trouble, it wouldn't be real hard to do so at Oakland Alamo County.
You're dealing with a lot of people that seemingly have nothing to lose.
Yeah, they, well, or have already lost it all once. And they're not scared to go back.
Right. So remember, we got
to learn their lesson.
We basically got boat raced the week before at the Georgia Dome by Tampa Bay. And now we're going out to Oakland. And so at the tailgate party, I was speaking to a group of people. And I said, well, I hope you don't hang 50 points on us. Because that was, they had a prolific offense that year. They were one of the Super Bowl favorites. A lot of folks thought the Raiders and the Falcons might be a preview of the Super Bowl. One team did make it to the Super Bowl that year, and that was the Atlanta Falcons. I hope you don't hang 50 on us. And then some guy that had nothing to do with the conversation comes up, gets in my face, and says, you just jinxed us. And if we lose, I'm going to come and beat your ass after the game.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's how it was out
meant,
there.
Meant
and
every he word
meant
of
that. Man was Bill Romanowski.
Could have been. Might as well have been.
He was wearing his jersey. So stupid. Yeah. Self-identify. I'm big guy, number 53.
I'm glad that I went. And like I said, the night before, I go to see Texas and Cal at Memorial Stadium in Berkeley, and I had read about Tightwad Hill. So I knew there was no need to buy a ticket because there's that hill behind.
Yeah, like tree forts and stuff up there.
It's on one sideline of the stadium, yep. And there's tree forts up there and frisbees and weed and kegs and 400 or 500 people. And apparently there's like a political system up there. There's a mayor of Tightwad Hill.
Always.
Going back to the fraternities launched the whole thing back in the 1920s. It looks like a natural part of the landscape because trees, redwoods have grown up on it. But I did the research. All Tightwad Hill is the dirt that they excavated to build the bowl for Memorial Stadium. And they just pushed it behind a stadium. And now it's grown over with vegetation. And it looks like it's part of the natural landscape. But every Cal Bear game, 300 or 400 people don't buy tickets. And they watch it from on top of Tightwad Hill. And the view is fantastic.
So you're saying there's a mayor there? It's like Brookhaven?
The mayor of Tightwad Hill.
I know that.
And you can see across the bay, you can see the bridges, you can see the skyline of San Francisco. It's gorgeous. Absolutely. Yeah,
democratic
gorgeous.
Process up there on the Phil land.
That was the first year that Jared Goff was gone. Davis Webb, the Texas Tech transfer, was the quarterback. Demetrius Robertson, true freshman from Savannah, one reception, 16 yards. And I think Charlie Strong was still the Texas coach. He was on the way out because they got beat.
See, there you go. A simple question. What to do in Los Angeles turned into this.
Yeah. It turned into the Bay Area.
He's an amazing man, this Steve West.
Beautiful place.
I'm glad you got to witness this, Matt Stinchcomb. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls. The experts from AquaGuard, then, Joe, can provide a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net. A very odd way to describe the Falcons. We'll talk about that next. Brock Heward at 1:20 here on Cellini and Domino. Stinchcomb, as in Matt Stinchcomb, and Westy in for Domino. It's The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, and The Fan app.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM, or download The Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere, from the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone. We are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.